Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multi-sensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who have both experiences and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You're welcome to call in and ask questions and make comments during the show. There are a number of services available through our organization, Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, and motivational counseling, grief, and more. And this week, we are having back PMH Atwater. We are starting nice and late this afternoon. So enjoy visiting towardthelight.org, and let's welcome back PMH Atwater. Hello, PMH.
Hello. I've been told to talk softer. That's going to be difficult for me.
And I've been told to scream. So how does that sound?
Maybe between the two of us we'll do it.
Okay. Well, and go ahead and tell us the name of your topic again. It's a time of change, a time of shift.
Well, it's a particular talk that I've been giving across the nation. It's a two-part talk. It's called Times of Change, the Great Shifting. And it's in part one is of the ages, which we did last month. Part two is the great shifting in the human family, which we started last week, and we will conclude this week. And I want all the listeners to know that next month in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Quest Bookstore, on two successive Friday nights, I'm going to be giving these two parts again, only this time they're going to be filmed. And I'm going to make a DVD out of them, which will be available over my website. So those listeners who would like to have the full talks and like to have it on DVD, they'll be able to get that off my website, I hope, by June.
Well, that's excellent. And your website is pmhatwater.com.
So yes, and in just, Juliet, in just a couple of days, the entire home page of my website will change, where I'm having it redesigned, and I've seen the new design, and it's a wow. I think everybody's going to be really tickled.
That's great news. Well, Toward the Light is revamping that, or I'm revamping it, since I build all of my own websites, and we're also going to be doing a towardthelight.info, which will be centered around the media work, the support groups, and events taking place centered on Toward the Light. So that'll be exciting as well. Lots of new things coming up for all of us, and that's tremendous news. So, with all the excitement, including a huge power outage that I endured, which meant no water even this past week, quite a humbling experience, reminding us to really be in the moment and to be in love, because you never know when things are not.
Our whole nation got a humbling experience this last week. It was what happened in Florida, what happened in Virginia Tech, what happened with people losing their power. I mean, it's everywhere. We're all being forced or told that we've got to wake up and be aware of how we use our words, how we language, how we recognize things, how we treat people, how we treat each other. And these are all issues that the near-death experience, by the way, speaks to exactly. And we're certainly getting this lesson nationwide.
Well, that's definitely an understatement, everything you've just shared. And you also brought some of this up in your recent appearances on my show back in February and then again this month as well. So let's get into what you wanted to share this week.
Okay, I won't repeat very much what I said last week. So if the listeners want to check in to the broad overview of evolution in the human family, what's going on across the world right now, I suggest that they access your website and your own archives. They can also get on my website, but the link will take them back to yours and to the archives. Okay. So, you know, if they want to check on that broad overview, they can do that. Today, this time, we're going to be more specific. We're going to be talking more specific about today's children. And the one thing that I want to make sure everybody knows so that we're all on the same page is if you use labels like indigo, crystal, starseed, cosmic, psychic, or any of those kind of labels, they actually box children into exclusive kind of clubs of specialness that do not necessarily apply and I think are very misleading. So I ask people to take all of those labels and toss them. Just toss them out the door. But take the characteristics those labels supposedly describe. Take all of those characteristics of each of those labels, bunch them together into one big bunch of characteristics, and then you have the profile of today's children. So if we can get away from being exclusive and start being inclusive, which is what I'm all about, then we can take a look at all of our children and recognize that our children today are different than we were when we were children. They're different from their grandparents, their great-grandparents, maybe not all of them, but most of them. That these children stand alone. I was just at a rock show today, and my husband and I love rock shows. And I was buying a particular pendant, Bruno Jasper. Of course, I'm from Idaho and Bruno country, and Bruno Jasper is, you know, my kind of stone from my kind of people and my kind of country. You know, I just love it. And I was talking with the woman who sold me the pendant, and she was talking about her grandchildren and how much they fit the pattern of today's new kids. And we got into this long discussion about the new children. And she made this statement. She said, you know, she said, you don't raise these children. And I started laughing. And I said, no, you don't. You mentor them, but you don't raise them. You mentor them, that is to say, you direct them. There are ways of maintaining discipline. But these children you listen to, because these children know a lot. So I'd like to talk about their basic characteristics. When you grump all of these descriptions together, this is what you come up with. And then I'd like to talk about their weaknesses. So let's talk about their strengths first. Bearing in mind that we're talking about most of today's children, almost virtually all of them, recognizing, of course, that some of these children will display more of these characteristics than others. That's normal. That's natural. But as a profile, this is a good one for today's children, and not just in the United States, but all over the world. So it's you know, we're not just talking about U.S. kids. We're talking about all of God's kids. On their assets, these children are highly intelligent. And Juliet, they're highly intelligent and very, very clever, whether they're flunking in school, can't spell. I mean, they're still unusually intelligent. And we'll go over some of the, you know, maybe some of the challenges in school in a couple of minutes. But I want to just really lead out that these kids are very intelligent. You know, we have a lot of research now on these gene mutations to build a better brain. And there's two main ones, and they've been around for quite a while. But what scientists are now noticing is all of a sudden they're jumping in the population. I mean the world's population. They are just skyrocketing. And that 70% of the world has at least one of them. And 30% have both of them. That 30% are our geniuses. So take a look at that figure. We now have, at least where science is concerned, 30% of the world's children are now geniuses. This is unheard of. These are kids that are scoring between 150 to 160 as a matter of course. And genius in standard IQ tests, some teachers will say, well, it's between 134 and 136. Other teachers say, no, it starts at 140. These are kids that are scoring between 150 to 160. 30% of the world's kids are scoring between 150 to 160.
That's about one-third of the population right there.
That's right. And it goes up in the 200s, they're scoring. So I want to emphasize here that all of these kids, or at least most of them, are very intelligent. We're talking about the vast majority, of which 30% are geniuses. Again, this is unheard of. And we've got them now, and we're getting a whole lot more. They are very music-oriented. I think you've already, you and probably everybody else has noticed that. They usually have some kind of wire hanging from their ear. It's either an iPod or, you know, some way of getting music. It's like they eat music. It's like they drink music. They're unusually music-oriented. They're very clever. They're very clever innovators and inventors. They are extremely creative. Again, when I'm talking 30% geniuses, I'm not just talking about standard IQ tests. We're talking about geniuses with music, geniuses with art, geniuses with sculpture. We've got 4- and 5-year-olds that are painting like great masters. We've got 6-year-olds that are composing great symphonies. And these are not just, you know, exceptions. There are so many who are doing this now. They are very intuitive. They're very psychic. Many of them can remember past lives. And one of the things I've noticed with these kids is that they are especially interested in past histories. And they seem to be drawn to history, not dates, when that war was fought, or who's the general, but they want to know about what it was like for the average person to live in medieval times. What was it like for the average person to live, what do they call it, under a caliphate, or I'm probably pronouncing the word wrong, but these great rulers from the Byzantine Empire and before. They want to know what it was like for the average person to live there as if they are remembering something. So you're going to notice this in these kids. They say, well, only a few of them can remember past lives. Baloney, most of them can. And they're either aware that it's a past life or, again, there'll be that kind of tendency of, I want to know more about the Hamptons in the 1800s. Or I want to know more about what it was like in England in the 1400s. You know, they won't necessarily right away realize, ooh, I was there. But they do have this longing, and they'll start telling stories as if they really were there. So you really got to listen to these kids. Almost all of them are good at math. Just forget about the stories you get from school. These kids are good at math. They're really good at math. Much better, usually, than their parents are. They are natural-born healers. I mean, they know about the aura. They know about color healing, auric healing. They know how to heal. And you don't have to teach them that. They know how. But one of the things I've noticed with these kids is they will not necessarily understand why they know. They won't necessarily understand why it works. They just know that's what they need to do. And they do it. They're natural-born entrepreneurs. They are completely irreverent. I'm sorry, even the most spiritual are irreverent. They just don't go along with the old ways of doing things. They have this sense of entitlement. They have this sense of, you know, it all has to come to me. They're wonderful creative problem solvers. They're volunteer-minded. These kids get involved in humanitarian projects, I swear, as soon as they're proficient in language. So you're getting 4- and 5-year-olds that want to adopt all kinds of people, or they want to start all kinds of garden projects in the cities so people can, you know, raise their own food, or this little boy in Canada that started this project of sending money to Africa to dig wells so people can have decent water. You know, one little boy, and in a few years, he is funding, just by going around and asking for money, he is funding thousands of wells in Africa, bringing fresh water to the people. It's just kids.
It's really tremendous.
It's just kids.
Do you think these kids are aware of the fact that they are multidimensional?
They take it for granted. You know, it's just the way they are. These kids are groupies. They're, as far as the mind is concerned, strong spatial ability. These are spatial learners who are abstracting at very young ages. Just a minute. I have to clear my throat for some reason. And a lot of people don't know what abstracting is. And this I would say, is their greatest talent, is their ability to abstract. Let me give you an example. This is a little 2-year-old. I mean, she might have been 2.5, but, you know, right around the age of 2. A little kid. And she's talking to her mom. She and her mom are having a discussion. And she gets very frustrated. She gets very disgusted. And she puts her hands on her hips, walks up to her mom, wiggles her finger in front of her mother's nose back and forth and back and forth, and stares, glares at her mother, and says to her mother, "I don't know the word for that yet." Now, how can a 2-year-old not know, how can a 2-year-old possibly know that they don't know a word for something that they want to use at that moment in a discussion with their mother? That's abstracting. That's the ability to abstract. They don't just think outside the box, Juliet. There was never a box there to begin with.
Exactly.
You know,
that's an important
you and I talk
too.
About thinking outside the box. These kids don't even recognize there was ever a box.
Didn't you say that the irreverence is towards the box, in other words, towards the old established rules and societal ways of
very much so.
Because I'm so irreverent to that too.
Very much so. Very much so.
And let's
talk about that momentarily, because I want to say one more thing. They're groupies. They're groupies. They really don't like to do things alone. They're really groupies.
Okay, that's what groupie means. Okay, because
there's
different definitions.
I mean, they can be alone, but they're going to have a group. They're going to have a chat room, or they're going to be text messaging, or they're going to be on the phone to somebody. I mean, these kids are groupies, and they like to do things as a group. They like to do things as a collective. So there's a lot of that emphasis of moving toward the collective. If they're not already there, they want to move toward it. They're very much groupies. So when we're talking about what you want to talk about, that is to say multi-channeling, these children live in a multiverse. They don't live in a universe. They don't even know what a universe is. They live in a multiverse. They are multi-talented, and they're multi-channelers. So the idea of being able to focus in one way or channel on one or be a part of a particular channel, that just leaves them cold. They don't understand that. They're very, very diversified, I guess is a good word to use. Open, diversified in the way they look at things and the way they approach things. And when I said that these kids, I think their greatest talent is their ability to abstract. And because they abstract, they appear to be wiser than they really are. Because they come up with these great stories and announcements and pronouncements and, you know, they're figuring things out. And what you and I would say is amazing ways that they are able to do this, where in fact for them it's absolutely normal. I mean, it's just like, how can you not work on multiple channels all at the same time? You know, how can you not be able to multitask? Yeah. I mean, you know, they don't understand why we can't do it, or it might be a little challenge to do it. Now just hang with that idea for a minute and realize that in our schools, 80% of the curriculum, in any school, you name the school, 80% of the curriculum is designed for verbal learners. These kids are 80% of these kids are spatial learners. Do you see what's happening in our schools? The kids, 80% spatial learners, the schools, 80% verbal learners. They're getting lost in the school, they're bored in the school, they can't stand the school, they're not getting anywhere in that school. This idea of no child left behind, we're losing these kids so fast that it's absolutely shocking how fast we're losing these kids. And we're doing it right now. It's not a matter of waiting around for a study or let's examine this more thoroughly. We're losing these kids right now. And we really need the parents to come forward. We really need to sit down with the educators. What I would advise at this point, I would make several recommendations here. First of all, I would say, please get my book, Beyond the Indigo Children. It's full of the kind of information you need. And in the footnotes section in the back of each chapter is name, address, phone number. All kinds of references, name, address, phone number. Very specific. And on my website, www.pmhatwater.com. And when you get on the homepage, even the new design homepage, on the left-hand side, I think it is, it says Beyond the Indigo Children Extras. The extras is the addendum to the book. And it has, I think, 30-some, maybe 40-some more pages of suggestions, name, address, phone number, advice, parenting advice, all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of resources there. But I want to say to all the educators and the parents right now, there's one book you need to get, even above and beyond mine. There's one book you need to get. In fact, you have to have it if you're going to educate those kids. And that book is by Dr. Linda Silverman, like the metal, silver, Silverman. And the book is Upside Down Brilliance, The Visual Spatial Learner. You got to get that book. Put it in the hands of every educator you know. Upside Down Brilliance, The Visual Spatial Learner by Dr. Linda Silverman. It was published in Denver, Colorado, by De Leon Publishing. But you ought to be able to order it at any bookstore. that book is essential for teachers, absolutely essential. It's going to be good for parents, but in the school system is where that book is needed the most.
I will be very honest that I was the same way when I was young. I could not learn in the school systems the way they have been set up for eons, and yet I found out later that I actually am quite an intelligent individual, but I could not take in that verbal
right.
linear input, as I call it.
Well, you're one of the new kids. You know, it's like we said
yep.
last week. The new kids have been around for a long time. This particular kind of profile of children, I could trace it back. I could pick up a few of them at the time of Jesus. There weren't that many, but there were a few. Every Renaissance the world has ever known, a lot of them came in. You can look back and see there they were. We got another rush of these new kids coming in between about 1870 and 1920, just a whole rush of them coming in. Then in the 1970s and 1980s, 1960s and 1970s, we got another rush of them coming in, but the floodgates opened in 1982. And they haven't closed, and they're never going to close. So, yes, you can be one of the new kids. Yes, I'm one of the new kids. Yes, maybe your grandparents were among the new kids because they've been coming in for a while. Now, almost all of the children being born are of the new kids. So they're spreading millions upon millions upon millions of people. So we've got to know. We've got to know about our new citizens. Because, you know, this is our future. Our future is these children. We need to know about them because they are so very different. There's another book out now, just came out. It's called Generation Me, M-E, Generation Me, Why Today's Young Americans, now this is just about Americans, why today's young Americans are more confident, assertive, and entitled, and more miserable than ever before. And it's by Jean Twenge, T-W-E-N-G-E. And that's a result of a very large study. And that's looking at kids in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. And it gives you yet another point of view. But, you know, while we're hanging there, talking about education, talking about their minds, I want to go a little bit further, if I could, with that subject. There's a lot of charts in my book. There's a lot of information in my book. But I would like to talk about intelligence.
Book.
What?
Yeah.
My book is Beyond
book.
The Indigo
it.
Children.
Yeah.
Do you have it,
yeah.
Juliet?
Oh, absolutely. And I've read it and I talk to people about it all the time, be assured. Oh, yes.
Well,
in fact, I will automatically tell people that these labels on children are erroneous and they're just the new kids.
Yeah, they're just the new kids. So let's embrace them all instead of trying to box them into, you know, exclusivity. But if we're just talking about intelligence, I want to invite the listenership to realize how much intelligence is now changing. When we're talking basically about intelligence, we're talking about what can be measured in standard IQ tests. So we're talking about thought. We've had books out now for some time about emotional intelligence. That's your EQ. Your mental intelligence is your IQ. Your emotional intelligence is your EQ. And they finally come to realize that emotional intelligence is just as important and just as strong and just as varied as mental intelligence. We now are realizing that there is spiritual intelligence. That's called your SQ. That has to do with wisdom and connecting with the higher self and higher purpose. There is yes, and we're also now recognizing that there is holistic intelligence, which is your WQ, And that's you knowing that innate telepathy. It's like profoundly connecting with others and connecting with potential. And now we finally recognize that there's a fifth one. It's called quantum intelligence. Of course, they've got to call that the QQ. And that's your hyperspeed, super creativity where you're connecting with the allness. Well, the interesting thing is a significant number of the new children. So when I say significant number, I'm talking about over 50%. Fed SQ through QQ. This is why parents and teachers are in such a quandary, Juliet. Intelligence beyond what can be measured with a standard IQ test is considered fiction. Doesn't that just grab you? It's considered
fiction. Oh, yes, it does. It always has done. Indeed.
And yet these kids are excelling in these, you know, spiritual intelligence, holistic intelligence, quantum intelligence. They're soaring off the charts. And we're calling it fiction. You know? It's like, how do you handle that? Well, you know, our challenge is to keep educating people, keep talking about it, helping parents. And one of the things they're finding out about schools that is very disconcerting, but I want to mention it before I get on to the weaknesses of these kids or the special challenges that these kids have to face, is that they did a study in England, your home country here, a big study, and they found out that it applies everywhere that we can apply it to. So it was certainly the Western countries and other countries as well. And they're finding that once the child reaches puberty, they begin to lose the ability to abstract. Now, that's their greatest talent, Juliet. And they begin to lose it about the time of puberty. You know, abstraction is what enables you to reason things out. And again, be that creative problem solver where the mind just leaps. And what they're finding with the kids now in school is that they are intelligent idiots. They know a lot, but they can't figure things out. They don't have that creative intelligence. They're losing it. They're losing the ability to abstract. And the culprit will just grab you. The culprit is virtual realities. You know, people will be hot to trot and they'll blame it all on TV. It's all virtual realities. We're talking computers. We're talking cell phones. We're talking video games. We're talking any type of virtual reality. And that's because if they dwell too much in virtual realities before puberty, it interferes with brain development, and it interferes with brain development directly. You can expose children to virtual realities maybe an hour or two a day, but no more than that. Kids have to experience reality for themselves. You know, they've got to be out the door. They've got to be digging. They've got to be solving problems. They've got to be tasking. They've got to be doing things in life, or they lose life. And it's just stunning what they've found out. Yeah. It's like, whoops. You know, so here comes Disney out with this new TV channel just for babies and toddlers.
Oh, no.
And the parents love it. And the parents love it. And they're supporting it because they think that if they start their kids younger and expose them more, that they are helping them. They don't realize that they are hurting them. So I hope your listenership is listening. Too much, too soon turns our children into intelligent idiots. caution, caution, caution. Okay, let's talk about some of their...
You know, this is making my heart pound right now. This is amazing, and I've always been so opposed to television. I don't own one. I don't watch it. I don't even believe in television. I think it's...
Television is okay. I don't want to argue with you here, Juliet, but television is okay. It's just, let's limit it, you know, a little bit. The kids can learn a lot. Same with the computer. But let's limit it. There needs to be limits until they've reached puberty.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Okay, my dear.
I went out and took a long walk, you know, getting in the
yeah.
way, being away from my... Yeah.
That's what we need to do with our
computer.
Kids.
Yes.
And Juliet, these are the quick click kids. They want everything now. They're the ultimate consumers. They're impatient. They have an underlying anger. I don't care if they're the most loving kids in the world. They're still going to have to deal with that anger. And we've sort of alluded to that before. Let me talk about it a little bit more right now. Every generation has its underlying energy signature, both positive and negative. For this generation, that floodgate of kids that entered right around 1982, some generational statisticians call them the millennial generation. Some, like this new writer, who calls it Generation Me. Some people call it, a lot of the media calls it Generation Y. These children, all of them, their positive signature is tolerant. These are unusually tolerant, diversified kids. But their negative signature is anger. And the whole generation is dealing with it. And it's a peculiar kind of anger. It's the kind of anger that has no patience and is easily frustrated with anything that's inauthentic. They're easily frustrated. You.
I'm thinking that song, too.
A lot of people will. Anything that's inauthentic, anything that is overly exaggerated or untrue, they just have very, very little patience with it, and they'll get very frustrated. They'll get very angry, especially with their parents. And you know, they don't hesitate to correct their parents. They don't hesitate
indeed.
At all. You know?
Something that happened to me yesterday was that caused me to be absolutely livid. And this is what I refer to as being inauthentic, as being deceptive, willfully so, and greedy. I opened a brand new bottle of supplements. This bottle literally was only 1/3 full. Now, what's the point of all of that wasteful packaging when it's only 1/3 full? Why was
it? Well, they claim it's settling. You know, I've talked to manufacturers. Yeah, and they say, you know, it's settling. You know,
not that much. Not the bottle. You know, we're looking at deception, willful deception. That makes me livid.
Well, it bothers the kids too, dear. It bothers the kids too so much that they're determined to change the world, whether we want it changed or not, and they're creating a parallel world. And it's almost as if they don't need our help because they're going to do it anyway. What they do need is our guidance and our mentorship, because we need to guide them and help them here. Now, these children prefer the astral. That's why they're drawn to virtual realities, synthetic realities, and their favorite is called Warcraft. You know, if you know about this particular virtual reality, it's called Warcraft. And most kids from the age of about 4, 5, 6 years old are into Warcraft. You know, and if you can limit that and just a couple of hours a week, that would be great, you know. But these kids are doing 3, 4 hours a day.
Something quite negative. Is that correct?
Well, it can interfere with brain development. So I'm just throwing that out. I'm not labeling it bad or good. I'm saying it can interfere with brain development. Be careful. These kids prefer night school to day school. Have you caught on to that yet? I wonder if your listenership has caught on yet. You know, we tuck these kids in bed at night and we think they're asleep. Well, they are asleep, kind of, sort of. Where most of them are is attending school. They're going to schools at night with all kinds of diversified students, probably from other worlds. They're going to school at night. They have teachers. They receive assignments. It's like a real school. And I used to think it was all their imagination. You know, kids have great imaginations. And I just chucked it off to that till I was in a super one of these big malls. And there was a little boy next to me, and he was, you know, holding his mom's hand. And all of a sudden, he yelled across the, you know, this big corridor to a kid way down there. He recognized him. He started yelling at him, called him by name, started waving. And the kid was with his mother and father. And he started waving back and called the other boy by name. And they, you know, managed to get wrangle free from their parents' hands and go running to each other. And they started discussing their experiences in school last night and the assignments they were given. And I'm hearing all of this, and the parents are just flabbergasted, because the mother that was near me with the little boy, she was local. The mom and dad with the other little boy, they were tourists. They were just passing through. They'd never been in that city before. These two boys attended the same night school, even though in daytime, in their physical bodies, they had never seen each other before, nor could they ever have seen each other before, but at night, they attended the same night school, and they knew each other. And that, I kind of hesitated and said, well, night school is really real, isn't it? It's on grids, and, you know, these matrices and grids are really real, and these kids, you know, they're in night school.
Yes, they are.
Now, my dear, these newer kids are highly, highly sensitive to food, especially processed foods. They don't assimilate food well. They're highly sensitive to drugs. They're highly sensitive to electromagnetic fields. They're very sensitive, of course, to toxic metals and toxic emotions. Of course, most people are. But especially the foods and the electrical fields. I mean, don't have a computer or a TV in your child's bedroom. Don't have electrical blankets. Please. These kids are so sensitive to those fields. Have them in another room. And by having them in another room, that's a way that you can help to control usage, you know. These kids very much go into gender mixing. They're leading us beyond polarity. They did a study, what was it, in 2005. And had a big special on it early that year. It was a Katie Couric special about sex with the new kids and this whole idea of gender with today's youngsters. And what they found out at that time in the schools in America was that 42% of the kids were bisexual. So it's a different emphasis. It's a different way of looking at sex. They're very much into gender mixing. They're not so much drawn to one way of doing things. They're very sensitive to trickster energy. This is going to be very important for near-death experiencers, for anyone who is psychic or intuitive, strongly intuitive, goes very much into a phenomena of any kind. These kids are very sensitive to attachments, trickster energy, possessions, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We really need to start training them at early ages how to clean themselves. They can do that in meditation. They can do that with intention. Kids, you know, the one-minute meditation, kids do that, and they do it very well. Or guided meditation, wonderful little snippets that kids can do easily and just affirm that they're all cleaned out inside and that nothing inside themselves is harmful or interfering in any way, that they are filled with God and they are filled with that light and they're all cleaned up inside. You know, these simple little things we need to do with children so they keep themselves, you know, pure inside, because they can pick up stuff just like dirt, and they pick up this psychic etheric stuff, and they need to learn how to clean up. We need to recognize, I think, especially that these kids need to be handled a little bit differently. And I want to recommend two other books here that are going to be, one of them is going to be absolutely essential to parents and school teachers. The other one is going to be absolutely essential to everybody. The one that's especially important to teachers and students is this idea of teaching philosophy at early ages in grade school. I really feel
perfect.
That we need to start teaching it in the third grade. And those kids are ready for it. And here's the book, Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. It is by Marietta McCarty. And Carty is C-A-R-T-Y. Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. I've been following Marietta's work for years. She's a teacher. She's taking her campaign is to take philosophy into the grade schools. And she's doing it, and she's finding out that even in the first and second grade, kids are ready. Hear this. Kids are ready to talk about philosophy. They're ready.
What ages are those, PMH? What
age? 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. By the time they're eight years old, they are absolutely ready for philosophy. But even at the age of six, they're ready. And the second book that I think is one of the greatest books ever written for children, but it's really for everybody. I recommend this for everybody. I don't care if you've never had children, if you're not even interested in children. There's so much in this book that applies to you that it's absolutely invaluable. It's called The Secret Spiritual World of Children, The Breakthrough Discovery That Profoundly Alters Our Conventional View of Children's Mystical Experiences. So just remember, The Secret Spiritual World of Children is by Tobin Hart, T-O-B-I-N. Hart is spelled H-A-R-T. It was published in Hawaii. You can get it anywhere. The publisher is Inner Ocean Publishing. I mean, get this. The number one book for the spiritual life of children. Number one. There's not another book that can even approach it. The Secret Spiritual World of Children by Tobin Hart. Fabulous. Remember I said these kids are inventors? There's a special website for them on, you know, on the internet. It's by kids for kids. So they've taken those initials. It's www.b for by, k for kids, f for four, k for kids. So it's BKSK, www.bkfk. This helps children deal with copyrights, patents, starting their own businesses. It's by kids.
Now, is it .com or the net? What is it, PMA?
www. You know, just on the internet. www.bkfk.com
or net or org or what is it? What comes off of the dot?
Oh, I didn't write it down. I'm going to say .com. If that doesn't work, try .org. I didn't write it down. Ah, can you imagine I didn't
That's
do that?
That's an important one.
I don't have it. Here it is, .com. Here it is, Juliet.com. .com.
It is
.com. So it's
okay.
www.bkfk.com. There we go. Sorry.
Okay.
I did a little switcheroony here.
Well, we're going to have to sign off here in a couple of minutes, but have you got any announcements or anything else that you would like to share in closing, PMH?
Well, get my book, Beyond the Indigo Children. Get on my website and download Beyond the Indigo Children extras. That will help you. But a big announcement that's coming up for me personally is next week, Sunday, is my husband and myself. We are celebrating our 27th wedding anniversary. 27
Wow.
years. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, congratulations.
We are just so thrilled with that. And I can honestly say that every year gets better than the year before. And I can say that, you know, near-death experiencers talk about the angels. And I tell everybody I married mine. And I did.
Oh.
I mean, it's a privilege to be in the same room with that man. Just to touch his skin is like communion with God. He is just wonderful. And you know, being married to this man is pure joy. And that doesn't mean that we always agree. We don't always agree. In fact, we're just exactly the opposite from each other. But what we have come to realize is he fills in where I'm weak, I fill in where he's weak. And so by filling in each other's holes, we make a strong team.
There you go. Well, that's wonderful. And God bless you, Terry. Give him a good time
to me. Oh, Terry is so great. So I leave you all with love and joy and many blessings. Listen to your kids. They got a lot to tell you.
Indeed. Even some of us who are still kids in older bodies, too.
Sure. All the rest of us.
That's so important. Well, it's been wonderful, as always, having you, my friend. And we'll have to do this again sometime soon. And I want to remind everybody that you've been listening to Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. And please remember that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And also remember that only love prevails. Despite all appearances, only love prevails. Only love is real. We will talk to you next week. Looking forward to another transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. Visit our website, towardthelight.org. Blessings and light. We'll talk to you next week. Signing off for now.
Bye-bye.